Is he awesome? Is he awesome? Wow. He's an awesome God. Give me the wonderful privilege to be humble and contrite. You know, Sister Jolene already brought a message. If you haven't got it, you will get it. Thank you, Lord. He's so awesome that he is holy. He is holy. The angels cry out, "Holy, holy." Thank you, Lord. I'll continue my message. Thank you, Lord. Entitled Expedient. Expediency. Expediency is used in two forms, as I had declared the first time. I'm just a quick short little update. Expediency is used in the physical realm, and it is used in the spiritual realm. Because the high priest, they say, it is expedient that one should die than the whole nation perish. And then Jesus went and said, it is expedient that I go. Because when I go, the Spirit shall come. Amen? And I told you in this message, expediently, we have to learn four things about Jesus. We have to learn his life, his teaching, his person, and his work. Because if we will ever serve Christ to the max, we have to know who he is. Amen? It's just like the sister was explaining concerning Jubilee. But if she didn't have an idea what Jubilee is, she wouldn't have been on target like she was. And in many things in our life, it's no different. So if we're going to serve Christ, and we're going to be all we could be that he have called us to be, we got to know who he is. Amen? Because the more you know, the more you have. Like even in the army, the more weapon you have and the more you know to use your weapon, the enemy is almost like, for sure what? Defeated. You got the victory. Amen? So I want to give you a part this morning concerning the person of Christ. Because unless you understand, see, many times some of us believe, church, and don't get me wrong, many times we believe. But we had only believed what we have perhaps heard somebody said. But the greatest testimony can come through our belief is what the Holy Spirit had revealed to us. Amen? Because that's what the Spirit of God does. Amen? Let's go with me to the book of Matthew. I'm going to be laying down. And see if I could do two this morning, his person and his teaching. Hallelujah. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." Your faith has to be tied to the Holy Spirit. So if your faith is not tied with the Holy Spirit, let me continue. Verse 19 says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her public example was mine to put her away privately. In other words, see, in those days, you have to betrothed, you have to, when you get married, you have to already got your husband. That does not mean you're married. You're married is when you have that ceremony. But at this point, she was already betrothed to Joseph. So they were supposed to get married. And in those days, if you become pregnant without being married, as she's already been betrothed, she is supposed to be stoned to death. Amen? That was the price. Hallelujah. So Joseph wasn't ready to make her an example. Verse 20 said, but while he thought on these things, see, that's why sometimes we need to start think. We need to start think before we act. Because see, if he act right in the beginning here, he would have acted irresponsible. He said, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. This is a miracle. And this is one of the greatest miracles that set a foundation for Christianity. So if you can't believe, if you can't start believe right here, at this point, this miracle. Church, I'm not trying to be rude, no mean, but I'm telling you the rest of the thing that you won't continue understand and go to. If you say you believe it, you cannot say you believing it if you don't believe this first. This divine birth that God himself came down to man because man could not went up to him is the foundation of our faith. Let me continue read a little bit more before and then I'll take you to somewhere else. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. That's the exact reason why he's our Savior. Verse 23, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And that is the very fact right now that we as a born-again believer, we as Christians, we can assure stand on our faith because God is with us. If there's no other reason, you don't need to be worried nor concerned, but you need to know and have the assurance that God is with you. And this is the promise here, church. I'm trying to break it down to you so you could see it. Verse 24 said, then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did not as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. I want to take you somewhere else because this is just a foundation I'm setting here for you to build. Because every day in our walk with the Lord, there is something that we need to learn more concerning him so we could really understand his person. Let's go with me to the book of John. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As I go into this chapter, chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 1. We have to understand Jesus Christ. Jesus and Christ is his title. Christ means anointed and the anointing. He is both the anointed and he is the anointing. The human divine Son of God, born of a Virgin Mary, the great high priest who intercede for his people at the right hand of God, founder of the Christian church, and central figure of the human race. That is something there that you want to grasp and get hold of. Because once you get to understand who Jesus is, it's going to be easier for you to get what he has already done for you. Amen? Watch what John 1:1 says. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you go to Genesis 1, you don't have to go there if you can't get there quick. I have already got it marked in my Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, if God is, and God was, and he's trying to declare who Jesus is, that means Jesus was with God from the beginning. I'm just trying to establish this so you could have a better understanding why we need to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to give you another answer concerning the Spirit as I move into the Spirit realm. He says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And if you continue want to read that, you could find out how God created the heavens and the earth. Many times we either listen or we read other books and somebody might want us to even believe what they think, or that the earth just came by a big bang, or so many other different theories, and you know where I'm going. I'm not going there because for me, I care less. Amen? Verse 2 said, the same was in the beginning with God. He said, all things were made by him, and without him was nothing, and anything made that was made. Clearly defining to us the creative magnitude or the creative power that God have when he speaks. He speaks and things happen. Amen? And this is true. Him, his Son, and the Spirit. Verse 4 says, and him was light. In him was light. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. In him was life, which was Jesus. In Jesus was life. What life is he talking about? In him he's saying that there was salvation. The life we live, if we're going to live a life, we have to have salvation. And the next part says, and the life was the light of man. When you and I get salvation, brothers and sisters, we will be accountable. And that light of man is the light of accountability to him who have given us salvation. In him is life. In him is salvation. And in that life, we will have light. In him is salvation. And through that salvation, we will have accountability. The accountability of what? Of act. Our conduct is one of the principal things that God is looking for us. Are you acting the same way when you weren't saved? Now you got saved and you're still acting the same way? Are you still saying the same thing? Are you still doing the same thing? Are you still going the same places? It is called accountability. Now you hold yourself accountable. Why? Because you and I, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is within you, because you have already given your life to Jesus. Now, if you have not given your life to Jesus, perhaps your accountability is not concerning to the things of God. Your accountability is concerning to the things of the world. But when you have given your life to Jesus, that's why you know. I'm going to read this passage because this is a very powerful passage right here as I study church. He says, in him is life. In Jesus Christ, there is salvation. And the salvation was the light of men. He says, and the life was the light of men. But if you change the word life to salvation, which is the identical thing what I'm talking about, of if you understand Jesus Christ. He said, no, you are the light. In other words, no, you are accountable. You are not only accountable for yourself. Can many of us declare this? What I have to do with that? But if you're a son and you're a daughter of the Most High God, you have to do with the things concerning your brothers and your sisters. Amen? Leave that alone because that's not what I try to establish to you. Verse 5 says, and the light shine in darkness, and the darkness comprehend it not. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear the witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Just like John was a witness, and even John is still a witness up to this date, the word of God is saying to us that we need to be a witness. We need to be a witness. And that's the expediency concerning the things of God. Remember I said, I'm going to read it again what it says. Expediency, the meaning of expediency is doing what is necessary in a given circumstances to achieve a certain goal. See, Jesus knew that he had to come and that he had to die because that's the only way we could have been redeemed. He came, he died to redeem us. That was his ultimate goal, to redeem mankind back to God. Now we are already been redeemed because we are a child of the living God. Now, are we just going to hang on to redemption alone, or are we going to try to spread the redemption to each and everybody that comes our path? Amen. I'm going to give the Lord amen for that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent. Oh, I already read that. Thank you, Lord. Verse 8, he said, he was not the light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh unto the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Church, like I said already to the church, brothers and sisters, there are philosophers, there are religious people out there, there are numerous entities that are still trying to seek who God is. And you know, we as Christian, you know what God is doing? God is seeking us. Imagine that. What we have. Just for a minute, hold your breath and imagine what God sees in you and I. That he says in Psalm, he says that you were marvelously and wonderfully made in his image and in his likeness. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 11 said, he came not unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus Christ, as a Jew, came to his Jews, to his Jew generation, and they received him not. But this is for everybody, Jews and Gentiles, verse 12. He said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name. The only thing is separating you from God is your belief. I don't know what you're believing this morning, but if you're believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are his son and you are his daughters. Hallelujah. But if you are not, you don't need to leave this place the same way. You could accept him this morning, or if it's afternoon already, and make him the Lord of your life. And from this day forward, you will have a destination, which is the eternal hope and glory of God. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. He says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. Going right back to Jesus again. He came, and I can't say us, because glory to God. Thank you that we have a bunch of believers in here. If we don't have any that don't believe, don't leave here the same way. But because we believe that inheritance is ours, he have already given it to us, that we could call ourselves sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Verse 13 says, which was born not of flesh, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bear witness of him and Christ, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. See, John understood the deity of Jesus Christ. He says, and of his fullness have all we received the grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. See, Jesus was an eyewitness. You know, like many of us today, we say, oh, if I don't see it, I can't believe it. Show me, then I believe it. You know, Jesus was an eyewitness to the disciples. Jesus was an eyewitness to John. And John is declaring to us now what he saw. And all we need to do now is believe it. If we want to be a skeptic like Thomas, and Thomas says, no, I don't believe. And when Jesus came in the closed room, then he declared and he says, my Lord and my God. But the Word of God said, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. All God is looking from you this morning is for you to believe and to take him at his word. Amen? Thank you, Lord. See, because Jesus worked, that's his person. I'm not going to continuing to give you more much of his person, which I could almost preach for the rest of this year on his person. But because the message is tied into four different categories or four different parts I'm going to give you, I want you to just get a little glimpse of his teaching. Amen? Go right down with me to a couple more chapters, which is chapter 3 of John. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, verse 1. See, in his person and in his teaching, we had prophets that came, but they were singled. We had priests that came, but they were single. Like the priesthood of Aaron, the prophet, we know what Isaiah, Jeremiah, and I could keep on going, Ezekiel and all those prophets. And then we had the king, which was King Saul, and we have all the other king, and we have King David. But the only one that fulfilled all three from the Old Testament into the New Testament is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because he was prophet, he was priest, and he was king. Amen? I'm going to show you the farther down if I have time. If I don't, you get it in the next message. Hallelujah. He said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Acknowledgement right there, amen. Verse 3 said, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this is very important for us as believers to believe which kingdom you want to be in. Verse 4, let me finish and then you go. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is very, very important for us as Christians to understand the new birth. Because I've said this so many times, you born once, you die twice. And you born twice, you die once. Because you have the physical birth, which was your first birth, which when you came out your mother's womb, and then you have your second birth, which is the birth, is the spiritual birth. You have your first death, which is your physical death. But you do not have to die the second time. Because your second death, in reality, if you are not been born again, is when you are going to hell for eternity. I'm going to say this again, let you get it. You born once, you die twice. You born twice, you only die once. It is very, very important to understand this concept in the Christian life. Because a man that is born again of the Spirit, the body, the Word of God says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? I guess you get that, so I'm keep going. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Verse 6 says, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And he's going to give you the example, and it's very easy right here. Verse 8 says, The wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst thou tell whence it come and whither it goeth? So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. See, remember I tried to give the analogy last week concerning the wind? You can't see the wind. You don't know where it's coming. You don't know where it's going either. But you could feel the wind. If it's coming and it's blowing on me, I could feel it. It's just like the analogy I gave with the sailboat. What drives the sailboat? is the sail with the wind. Because you could be in the boat and you could have a sail, but if you don't have no wind, you're not going to be driven. And that's why the Spirit is so important to us, because we could be saved. But you know what drives us? The Spirit. Because the Spirit empowers us, He enlightens us, He illuminates us, He inspires us, because the Word of God is the inspired Word. So because the Word is inspired, then we have to understand it through inspiration. Because any other way we try to get it, we're not going to get it, church. Amen? Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak, we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how should ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And that's the reason why I try to teach the church every time I get a break about the spiritual things of God. The physical things is almost easy, like 1, 2, 3, to understand, because you know we were born in this physical world. But the spiritual things, we have to give ear to the Spirit, because only the Spirit of God knows the deep things of God, 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 11. Only the Spirit of God knows the deep things of God. And if you will ever be revealed the deep things of God, you must get it through the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be getting ready to close, church. Hallelujah. I want you to go with me to same John 3, but I want you to go to, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to go to the book of same John 3, but verse 18 before, because this is what I want to establish with you. For you. Thank you, Jesus. Prophet. Remember I said I was going to give you prophet, priest, and king? I'm going to quickly give them to you, because that's who he is. His ministry as prophet, you already read it. In John 1:1, in the beginning was, in the beginning is, and it was in the beginning. And you read it again in Genesis 1, in the beginning God. So that was already established that he is the incarnate Word. That is so profound for Christian to understand, that Jesus Christ is the Word. Amen? And he is, that's why he is the prophet. Because what the prophet they had give us before time, they give us the Word, right? And he is a priest. If you go to Hebrew, you read verse 7, I'm going to give you an extra verse here, but you could go. But read the book of Hebrew and you're going to understand the high priest that we have. We got a great high priest. See, and the priest in Duol used to use the blood of bulls and goats and heifers and ashes, and the people that were cleansed. Imagine, church. And now Jesus Christ through himself and through the power of his blood. Because when he said it was finished, the holies of holies, the veil that only the priests would have been able to go in there. And they could have not just go in there anyway. They had to be cleansed, because if they did go in there and they weren't cleansed, they would have died. So before they go in there, they have to tie something to their feet, because if they go in there and not properly cleansed, they would die, and then they pull them out. Nobody can go in there, because if anybody else go in there, the same thing happened to them. They die. And if those things used to cleanse Israel, the Jews, how much more does the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us? And he was the ultimate sacrifice. He did not make sacrifice for us. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Let me give you these scriptures if you want them. Deuteronomy 18:15 is he is a prophet and a faithful priest. You could get that in 1 Samuel 2:35, and you could also find that in Hebrews 9:14. And he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the only king that is still alive. Because you know all the other kings, King David and King Saul and King this and King that and King Tara, you know where they are? They're in the grave. That's why it is expedient that we serve God. It is expedient that we be a witness. What a testimony the sister had this morning concerning her son. Church, if you have not been a witness to your family, stop and think for a moment that if you are saved and they are not, and you're going to spend eternity with God, and they will spend eternity in hell. Broad, very broad, I'm putting it out there for you so you could literally see what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it, nor powder puff it, nor nothing. I'm telling you exactly as it is. If you are saved, if you are a born-again believer, if you have been born twice, if you have been born physically, and if you have been born spiritually, you have an eternal destination. And that is with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if your loved ones or your brother and sister does not know Jesus Christ, they are eternally doomed. It's a hard word, but it's the truth. So, you know, he asked me and you, what are you doing? Are you been witnessing to your friends, your colleagues, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your children, your nephew, your nieces? Are you being a witness to them? Are you trying to tell them that we are only passing through? That we are only pilgrims? Or are you just say, que sera, sera, like the Spanish say, that we say, whatever, it is what it is. No, church, let's not take it like that. It is my duty, and it is your duty to be a witness. You read here where John the Baptist was a witness, yet he still wasn't the light, because the real light was Jesus Christ. But he came, and he give us that authority, dominion, and power to be that light now in this last and dying world. Are you going to be it? You got the word, amen? Give him praise and glory. Remember, he is prophet, priest, and king. No more we have to go to a special prophet. No more we have to go to a special priest to do sacrifices. And no more we have to bow down to no other king, because he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. He is a mighty God. He is a wonderful counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the bread of life. He is the fountain of life. Hallelujah. He is our shield. He is our buckler. He is our high tower. He is our exceedingly great joy. Woo! Hallelujah. All you could think. He says, I am. And because he said he's I am, he will forever be my I am. Is he your I am? And a last word that my son asked for the church. He said, make sure you are tied on to Christ. Amen? You know what the next part is. I know I'm not going to the next part. But he says, tell the church, please, let us continue to be tied on for Jesus. Amen? I never like to close to give the invitation to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. I've done it some 20-something years, and I've never regretted one second of it. If you have not made him the Lord of your life, if you don't turn, you will burn. Simple. But if you have made him the Lord of your life, then you can also believe for all his promises. For his word says that in his promises, they are yea and amen. If you want prayer, I'm going to ask you to come up so we pray with you or for you. Let's continue to keep Pastor Pascasio in our prayers and the entire family. You know, my family, your family. We need, you know, our children that went back to school. Let's keep them in prayer. Because the world out there is not an easy place. But we know who could make it easier for us, and his name is Jesus. Amen? So if nobody wants prayer, we're going to close out in a word of prayer. We're going to ask our First Lady to close us out.